comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, and that's a guarantee. I'm here because it matters, and so do you. Have you got your ticket to the Halloween party yet? Lots of folks have. And if you haven't, you need to get your ticket to the Halloween party. It's going to be on our private TV channel. And the way it works, after you pay your $5 for the ticket, you just go over there where the pumpkin is spinning and click. And then that takes you to where you can pay your $5. You get a free download of a book called The Haunted House. And then you also get the password to get into our private TV channel. That's how it works. And so on October 31st at showtime, in other words, what time is it right now where you are? That's the time the party starts. Okay? Wherever you are in the world, whatever time it is right now, that's when the party starts. At showtime. An hour before that, we'll start showing scary old movies. And then after the party, we'll start showing scary old movies and show them all night long. So it's not just for the 2 hours of the party. That $5 covers from an hour before until sunup. Okay, so it takes you through the night. All right. What you'll do is on October 31st, whenever you come to the site, and you see the spinning pumpkin, the link will have been changed. So when you click that link under the pumpkin on October 31st, it takes you to the private TV channel. Okay, that's how that works. The former commander, wing commander, of the 91st Missile Wing at Minot Air Force Base in North Dakota, Colonel Christopher Ayers, was, you probably heard about this, he was fired on October the 14th. And he was fired because of, they said they had lost confidence in his ability to command. Under his command, they experienced the second transport truck crash. And the explanation was that the driver said that he had there was some huge insect that had flown in the window and was on his back, and he was trying to get this insect off of his back, and that's why the truck crashed. Well, it was carrying nuclear missiles, and so he got fired. He is being transferred to the Air Force Space Command headquarters at Peterson Air Force Base, Colorado. So he will not be retiring. He's going to transfer to where they command our space forces. Tonight, we're going to be talking about something that I think a lot of people, it's on your mind, because I get emailed about it all the time. And a lot of people are scared of it. And we're going to see what it's all about. And we're going to be talking about a polar shift, a flip in the Earth's magnetic poles. Is it coming? If it happens, what does that mean? We'll be back. Thank you. lots of people send me email during the week, and I have to tell you, it's one of the high points of my day. I check the email several times a day on a normal day. Of course, when we're fighting hack attacks, I don't do anything normal. But I haven't had to do that now in several days. But hack attacks really consume my day. So I don't check the email as much during the day when I'm fighting a hack attack. But on a normal day, I check the email several times during the day. And there are certain themes that pop up in the emails. And there are reasons why there's a trend in the email. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But the if I get one email where someone's concerned about something or they're interested in something, within that day, or well, we'll say within 48 hours, I'll probably get 10 more that the same idea comes up. The same concern or the same interest. And the reason that there are trends like that is because folks that listen to this show, this is not the only thing you do on the internet. Now, there are people listening to this show via internet, so they're on their computers. Or there are people that are listening to this show via AM radio, FM radio, shortwave radio, and we have folks listening to the show tonight on their cell phones. But probably the majority of the audience is listening to the show on the internet, and this is not the only thing you do on the internet. So people are involved in forums, and they read other websites, and you know, it's the stuff we talk about here on this show, the genre, that's the thing you're interested in, and so, or those are the things you're interested in, and so those are the things that you are pursuing on the internet. And you get into forums and someone comes up with some information or an idea, and then it gets discussed in the forum. It gets sort of churned up a little bit and more information comes in, and people's interest in this picks up, and they start paying attention to it. And so what happens then is that within, you know, 48 hours of all of that happening in a forum somewhere, well, it transports. It goes from one forum to another, because very seldom are people involved in just one site, one forum. They'll be involved in another one. And so they'll go to the other forum and say, hey, this is going on over here at this other forum. Does anybody over here have any information about this? Okay, and then that duplicates itself. Someone in that forum gets interested, and they go to some other forum, and they pass it along. And so things churn up because of the way the internet works. And it's kind of, they describe it in marketing as viral marketing. And so then people invariably will send me email and ask me. You know, they'll say, have you heard about this? Have you heard about that? And they get concerned about it. Well, what we're going to do here tonight did not start that way, but it led that direction. Let me explain. I got an email from one of our listeners, a lady that calls in and talks to us frequently. And it had a link to a forum. And she said, this is very interesting, and everybody's talking about it. So it didn't start with me. It didn't start with, like, 10 or 12 emails. It started with one. And so I went to the forum, and I looked at it, and I said, well, that is interesting. Let me see what's going on here. And I read down through the forum, and eventually came to a link to a video. And I went and watched the video. I'm going to share that video with you here in just a moment. And I said, well, that is weird. So I did some investigating on it, found out what was the deal with it. But then within 24 hours, I got another five or six emails where the subject of polar shift came up. And I tracked it down as well. I tracked down, you know, where, what forums this was happening in. And because I was interested in seeing what the people were saying about this. What I discovered is something really that I already knew, but it just underscored it for me. And that was that people are very, very concerned about the possibility of polar shift. Now, tonight we're going to be talking about that, and I'm going to share some information with you about that. Tomorrow night, there is another thing I've been getting email about that is another possible planet buster, and we're going to deal with that. So you don't want to miss any of tonight, and you don't want to miss any of tomorrow night. And you want to be sure you, in amongst all of that, get your ticket to the Halloween party. Okay, I'm going to show you this video. Now, this video is it's pretty interesting. This video shows what well, I'll tell you what. I'll start the video, and then for those who are listening on radio or cell phones, I'll describe what we're looking at, and then you can go to watch latest show tomorrow or later tonight, and you can see this, okay? So here we go. I'm just going to show this, and we'll see what happens here. Okay, this video is called Strange Stuff on the Sun, October the 26th, 2009. Did the sun flip over? Now, this video is from the SOHO satellite. And what we're looking at is a video taken by the SOHO satellite showing the sun rotating. And there it goes. It just flips. And now I did this as a video loop. So that means that we'll get to see it again here if you missed the first time. So it's rotating. It's spinning on its axis. And there it goes. It flips. And a lot of people were really pretty excited about this. But the question is, did the sun flip over? That's what it looks like in this video. Now, this was actually a pre-announced role of the SOHO satellite. They announced that it was coming, told what date and time it would happen. But a solar pole shift did happen in February 2001. It will happen again in 2012. So, that's what I started getting email about. That, see, a lot of other people did what I did. They saw that, and they researched to find out what it was. And in doing their research to find out what it was, which was the SOHO satellite was flipped over on purpose. But in doing that, they discovered that there was a pole shift on the sun in 2001, February 2001. And that NASA says it will happen again in 2012. Well, if you keep pursuing that line of inquiry, you come across information on the internet where there are very strident statements made about 2012. You know that. And among those statements being made about 2012 is that there will be a polar shift here on Earth. And that it's going to create, it's going to wreak havoc. It's going to create all kinds of horrendous conditions, loads and loads of people, millions, maybe billions, will die. I mean, there are just some very, very strident statements that are made about this. And so I did some research on it. It's not my first time. We've talked about it before, but I refreshed my memory about these things. And I ran across one that really is very strident. Now, I want to say it's always possible that I'm wrong in what I'm about to tell you. It's always possible. But it's also possible that the writer of this material is wrong. And I think you need to have all sides of the story and all sides of the issue because there are people who are absolutely terrified. And I in no way ridicule that, but nor do I don't belittle it, but there are people who are absolutely terrified of 2012 due to several, can I call it prophecies, that are being promoted on the internet and through books and videotapes and things like that. So that's where we jump off into this tonight. So let me just read a few statements here. Now look, I'm not going to give you the name of the author of this material, and I'm not going to give you the name because the author I don't want to promote you going and scaring yourself. Does that make sense? I don't want to promote you going and reading something that's going to give you nightmares. But I'm going to read some parts of this. And if the author of this is listening, look, I disagree with you, but I might be wrong and you might be right. This is a gentleman's disagreement. But here we go, folks. He says, I explained abundantly clearly that life after a polar reversal is nothing but horror, pure, unimaginable horror. So I think you can see why, just from that statement, I did not want to push you in that direction. But some of you have already read this, and you've written to me, and so I'll read some of it, and then we'll deal with this. And I'll explain why I disagree with it. Here is a statement that it says, the magnetic field around the Earth has been diminishing, and it has diminished almost 60% over the last 2,000 years. Now, that's true. It is diminishing, and the rate at which it is diminishing is speeding up. Is that anything for us to fear? Well, it's done it before, and you're here, aren't you? Now, granted, it did it 740 million years ago. But it didn't stop the human race from getting here, did it? In fact, it may be one of the factors that promoted all of the very specialized kinds of things that it takes in order for humans to exist on this planet. It may be why we're here. From a physical science point of view, it may be one of the facilitators for why we're here. But this says that you know, it's been diminishing, and it's diminished almost 60% in the last 2,000 years, and at this rate, there will not be much left within a couple of decades, and then one can expect reversal of the poles. Well, the Earth's magnetic field, just like the weather, gets very, very dim, and then it strengthens, and then it gets dim, and then it strengthens. Now, when it gets dimmer, when it gets weaker, it's true it's been stepping down. For instance, it it brightens up, if you will, and then it steps down, and then it'll brighten up, and then it steps down a little bit further than before. So it's been doing this stair step down routine for the past 2,000 years. Is there any indication that it's going to completely disappear within the next two decades? I looked and looked and looked and looked and looked for any kind of scientific backing for that, and I could not find any. Now, what I found was a scientist that admitted that it has been getting weaker and that it has been, over the past 20 years, diminishing more rapidly. And then they say what I just said, that, you know, it strengthens and then it gets weaker, it strengthens and gets weaker. So we don't really know how much longer this will go on before there is a pole reversal. So what's in question here is where he says it's going to happen within the next couple of decades. Now, I want you to listen pretty carefully to this. He says that from legends and from the sunspot cycle theory, from the sunspot cycle of the theory of the Mayans, we can reconstruct the cause of polar reversal. Well, you really can't. You really can't, because no one thoroughly understands the Mayan language. And you've heard it right here on this show with expert testimony that the Mayan language has not been completely decoded. There are lots of things they're just guessing at. And the expert that was here said 15 to 20% has been actually decoded. So when someone says, well, we know that the Mayans said this, we don't know that. We know that maybe 20% of that they said. And we're guessing at the rest of it. And so when he says from legends and the sunspot cycle theory of the Maya, we can reconstruct the cause of polar reversal. You certainly can't throw the Maya into that. I think that's reaching way, way beyond what is reasonable and rational to say that we know, because we don't. And then he says that, let me read this paragraph. Our Earth is a huge magnet with its own north and south poles. And we'll pick up there when we come back from this break. Welcome back. All right, the information I was about to give you when the break took over says, our Earth is a huge magnet with its own north and south poles. A short circuit with another external beam of lightning or magnet can end in a catastrophic polar reversal. This means that the magnetic north pole changes place with the magnetic south pole. But what sort of external beam can cause this? What force is powerful enough to stop the rotation of the Earth and revert it? Only one object can cause this, our Sun. And he goes on to say that the magnetic field of the Sun undergoes a drastic change every 11,500 to 12,000 years. And once a crucial point has been reached, it reverses instantaneously. Okay, well, that's not accurate. I mean, it sounds spooky, and it sounds like, it's oh my God kind of moment. That's not accurate. The fact is, the sun has polar reversal every 11 years. Now, you take your age, divide it by 11, and what do you get? Well, my age is 56. If you divide by 11 and round it off, what do you get? 5. There have been 5 solar pole reversals in my lifetime. The last one was February 2001. That was the last one you experienced, too. We all experienced it together. The sun did not undergo any kind of cataclysm. The sun did not undergo, it didn't stop rotating and go in the other direction. But what was its north pole is now its south pole. The sun did not flip over. Just the poles swapped. What was positive became negative. What was negative became positive. That's all that happened. When I say all that happened, I mean that's pretty important. Remember back to February 2001. In February 2001, anything cataclysmic happened to us, planet buster kind of stuff happened to us? No. As I say, at 56 years of age, there have been 5 solar pole reversals during my lifetime, and there's another one coming in 2012. This sounds like I said, it sounds spooky. And it says the magnetic field of the sun undergoes a drastic change every 11,500 to 12,000 years. No, it doesn't. It does it every 11 years. Drastic change. The sun doesn't stop rotating. It doesn't rotate in the opposite direction, and yet the polarity of the sun changes. It doesn't flip over. It doesn't stop. It doesn't rotate in the opposite direction, and yet the polarity changes. Well, the line of argument here in this article is that in order for the poles for us to have a pole reversal on Earth, so that what is positive becomes negative, what is negative becomes positive. North pole becomes south, south pole becomes north. The only difference you would notice is your compass. Today your compass is pointing north, towards magnetic north, and if tonight there is a pole reversal, you get up in the morning, and when it points towards north, you face that direction, you'd be facing the direction that was south yesterday. A little confusing, especially for those tom-toms, or whatever they're called, on your dashboard. Might mess up your GPS a little bit. It'll be telling you turn right when you need to turn left. But other than that, why would the Earth have to stop rotating and then rotate backwards in order for the poles to change polarity? It doesn't have to do that. And we know it doesn't have to do that because we watch the sun do this. It goes through this pole reversal every 11 years. Now, the sun is just a wee bit bigger than the Earth. It's just a wee bit more energetic than the Earth. And its magnetic field is just a wee bit stronger than the magnetic field here on Earth. If you put a stop to its magnetic field and switch places with it, swap its polarity, you've done something pretty huge, right? Yeah, you have. And still, the sun did not have to stop. It didn't have to stop rotating and go the other way in order for that polarity to swap places. It doesn't happen. The sun does not stop rotating and go back the other way. It doesn't flip over. But the poles change places. The magnetic poles change places, not the geological poles, the actual physical poles. They don't swap places, but the magnetic pole does. If something as big and energetic and powerful as the sun, with its massive, massive magnetic field, if it can swap polarity without going through those physical gyrations, I am persuaded that little bitty Earth will do the same. Does that make sense to you? Now, it says here, talking about talks about that a ring current is generated, and it says this during the solar pole shift, and this is the article that I say I disagree with. It says this ring current generates an intense magnetic field that is opposite to the Earth's magnetic field. In order to overpower the Earth's magnetic field, you need a solar flame 100 times more forceful than the biggest one we have ever seen. At the reversal of the magnetic field of the sun, this degree will certainly be reached. Well, okay. He says it'll happen at the reversal of the magnetic field of the sun. Well, that happened in February 2001. That's the last time it happened. And he says that what will follow will be nothing short of hell on Earth. He's talking about solar flares hitting the Earth. He's talking about the Earth stopping in its rotation and going the other direction in its rotation. And that when this happens, then what's north will become south. Now that, look. A pole reversal, a magnetic pole reversal is what he's talking about, does not mean that the Earth flips over. It simply means that what has been registering as a positive starts registering as a negative. What's registering as a negative begins registering as a positive. And it says, I'm going to read it to you again. It says right here, it says, at the reversal of the magnetic field of the sun, this degree will certainly be reached. What degree is he talking about? Well, he says in order to overpower the Earth's magnetic field, you need a solar flame 100 times more forceful than the biggest one we've ever seen. Didn't happen. He said it'll happen when the sun reverses its polarity. When its magnetic poles shift, when they swap places, then it'll happen. Didn't happen, did it? It didn't happen. The sun went through magnetic pole shift in 2001. What was registering as a north pole for the sun is now registering as a south pole. It's still setting right up here, but it's registering as south. What was registering as south is now registering as north, but it's still sitting at the bottom of the orb of the sun. You follow what I'm saying? You understand, right? The sun did not physically flip over. Only the magnetic poles reversed. But when that happens, he says, we'll experience here on this planet, a solar flame, I think most of us would call them solar flares, 100 times more powerful than anything we've ever seen before. Well, I promise you I was here February 2001. Well, I wasn't here, I was overseas. I was, as a matter of fact, in Kosovo. But I was here on the planet. And you were here on the planet. I don't think you were gone from the planet February 2001. Were you? You were here. Did you see a solar flare hit the Earth that's 100 times more powerful than anything we've ever seen before. Did you notice that happening? Well, I didn't either. And the reason you didn't notice it, and the reason I didn't notice it, is because it didn't happen. Now, having said that, NASA says every 11 years the sun goes through this flip-flop with its magnetic field, with its magnetic poles. What registers as north today will begin registering south. What registers as south today will begin registering north. The poles simply swap. The magnetic field simply reverses its polarity. And I've been through five of these in my lifetime, and you can do the math yourself. Take your age, divide by 11. Whatever you get, that's how many times you've lived through a solar polar reversal. And I, having lived through all five of them, I can say that I did not see any planet-busting cataclysms. They just didn't happen. As I said, NASA says that we're going to go through one of these again in 2012. And because it happens in 2012, a lot of people are experiencing "oh my God" moments. The reason I'm not concerned about it is because I've lived through five of them. Now, this is a solar pole reversal. The prediction here in this article that I was reading to you is that in 2012, when the sun goes through this solar polar reversal, that we are going to be wiped out because our Earth is going to come to a screeching halt and then spin the other direction and maybe even flip over. Like I said, I've been through five of these, and I haven't noticed that happening. Now, what if the Earth's magnetic field, which is weakening, what if it weakens to the point that it reverses in 2012? Does that mean, because we know the sun's going to do it, but when the Earth goes through it, does that mean that it will wipe us out? We'll be back right after this. Back to the Kevin Smith Show, and the professor is in. You may totally disagree with the things I'm saying here tonight, and I'm going in the next hour to open the telephone lines and give you the opportunity. If you agree or if you disagree or if you have questions, let's talk about this. We'll do that in the next hour. In the second hour, we'll open the phone lines. But what about this thing with what if in 2012 the Earth goes through this reversal of the magnetic poles? Well, we have something that we can look at as an example, and we know it did go through a reversal of magnetic poles. There was a polar shift 740 million years ago. But we have something we can look at that's current. In fact, two things that can kind of give us some guidance on this. Where do you think the magnetic North Pole is? Do you think it's at the North Pole of the Earth? It's not. It's out off the coast of Canada, headed towards Russia. and it's moving. And it's been doing this your whole life. It wanders around. Now, as the magnetic North Pole moves around, the magnetic South Pole, of course, is moving. But we don't chart that because our compasses point to north. They do that because that's how we decided to do it when we started using compasses. They wanted to know where north was. And so they devised compasses. You know, one end of the compass needle is pointing north. You do understand the other end's pointed to the south, right? And so they navigate by using the degrees figured on the compass pointing to north. You could look, I mean, you could reverse everything and you could read the other end of the needle, and then you would be so many degrees to the west or to the south or so many degrees to the east. It would be different numbers than what you use when you look at the north end of the needle. You understand, right? Okay. That magnetic north pole is not stationary. And when you look at a compass today, it's not pointing to the same place when it points to north that it was pointing to last year. One of the things that you have to learn in map reading, you think, well, there's nothing to map reading. Anybody can read a map. Well, I'm not talking about road maps. I'm talking about topographical maps. And you have to learn to do that in my former profession, because sometimes you're out in the middle of the boondocks and you have to find your way to a destination, and there's no road signs and there's just trails and stuff like that. We have to be able to read a map, and you have to know what are, it's called the degrees of declination. So if you're at, say, a place where it's 12 degrees of declination, that's a lot, but you're at 12 degrees of declination, you read your compass and then you take 12 degrees off of that as you plot it on the map in order to be accurate. If you're at 6 degrees declination, you take 6 degrees off of the reading in order to plot your way on the map. Over a short distance, it won't matter much. Over a long distance, it'll matter a lot. You're headed to a town, and that town is 40, 50 miles away. And if you're off by 6 degrees, depending on the size of the town, you may miss the town altogether. So that North Pole, right now, today, and in fact your entire life, has been wandering around. And at the moment, it's headed toward Russia. Noticed any great cataclysms as a result of that? I haven't either. We also have something else to look at, and that is we can look, and I mentioned it earlier, we can look at the sun and see what has happened with the sun every 11 years as its north pole starts registering south and its south pole starts registering north, or vice versa. The polarity of the magnetic field swaps every 11 years. What has happened with the sun? Did it blow up? No. Did it send out solar flares that have just absolutely scorched the earth? Well, there have been solar flares that have hit the earth. I think it was, 1858? And it caused fires and all kinds of bad things happen. It can happen. It's not related, as far as I know. I saw absolutely nothing that tagged the 1858 solar flare to a polar reversal. The sun can do that. The sun right now is not in a polar reversal. It's not going through that right now. And it could burp out a solar flare right now, before this show is over, it could do it right now, that could scorch the earth. Has nothing to do with the polarity reversing. But as the polarity reverses, have you noticed any great cataclysms happening on this planet? No. Have we noticed the sun stopping its rotation and going the other way? No. Have we seen the sun flip over so that what's sitting on the top right now becomes the bottom and what's at the bottom becomes the top? Have we seen that happen? No. Why would we imagine that all of those gyrations would happen in the reversal of the magnetic polarity of Earth? Now, there's all kinds of theories about the mechanics of how that happens, the mechanics of what causes that to happen. The fact is, nobody knows. The fact is, nobody knows. Now, you might say, well, that's because it's been 750 million years. Well, it's only been, that's true for the Earth. But it's only been since 2001 for the sun. And it's a, you know, great big ball of fire in the sky. We see it every day. And we have satellites looking at it. We have scientists studying it. And they're looking at it. And it didn't go through any of those gyrations. Whatever it takes to reverse the polarity of Earth's magnetic field, it takes far, 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 far more to reverse the magnetic polarity of the sun. And the sun did not blow up. It didn't go through any of those convolutions and gyrations and horrendous chaos that is predicted by some people about the Earth. It is very difficult for me to believe, very difficult for me to even imagine, that the physics here on Earth are different from the physics on the sun. We may not understand all the physics, but I think it's pretty safe to say that it operates the same there as it does here. Whatever the physics are. Look, I know I say there are no laws of physics, and I stand by that. There aren't. What we call laws of physics are just our descriptions of our current understanding. But whether we understand it or don't understand it, it still happens. And physics, whether we understand it or don't understand it, happen the same throughout the universe, I am persuaded. Granted, that's an opinion. I haven't been all over the universe. But I cannot imagine that it works differently on the sun than it does here. Why would, if the sun doesn't stop and reverse its rotation, if it doesn't flip over, and yet it goes through pole reversal every 11 years, why would we think that here on Earth, that it would have to stop, that the Earth has to stop, and then it has to rotate backwards and maybe flip over? See, that doesn't make any logical sense to me. We'll see what you think about it when we come back. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And we are going to open up the telephone lines so you can comment. You may think that I am absolutely nuts about this. You may think I'm all wet. Well, that's okay. It's a talk show. You can say what you think. There are talk shows where, freedom of speech doesn't happen, but it does here. I mean, you know, you got to keep it clean. But look, if you think I'm wrong, you think I'm all wet about this, then say so. Maybe you have some questions about the things that I've told you. that's okay. You can give me a call. I'll do my best to answer the questions. It may be that you have a comment you want to make, or you've got a position, a different perspective. That's okay. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. The toll-free number is 888-223-4599. Now, if you live around the world from here, you're not in the United States, you're not in Canada, and you don't want to make an international long-distance call, you can send me a flash message with your statement, your opinion, your question. And you do that by going to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. Scroll down and you'll see the link. The link says flash message. And you click that, send me the message. And as soon as the message arrives here, I get a little notice flashing on my monitor over here. And that's why we call it a flash message, all right? You can do that. But I am interested very much in knowing what you think about all of this stuff about, the solar flares and the pole flip and let's see, what have we got here? Okay. That's not a flash message. All right, but maybe you're concerned about the flip. Maybe that's got you concerned. Well, let's talk about that. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Well, it might help if I push the correct buttons. Yeah, that's working. All right, caller, you can give me another call. I pushed the wrong button. 623-444-5889 is the number to call. And I'll be glad to receive your call. I will be glad to discuss with you this pole flip. I don't know that there's going to be a pole reversal in 2012 for the Earth. Nobody knows that. In fact, let me read to you from a NASA scientist. I take them to task on things sometimes, but I think on a lot of things they are correct. And here's what he says. He says, Earth's magnetic field also flips, but with less regularity. Consecutive reversals are spaced anywhere from 5,000 to 50 million years apart. The last reversal happened 740,000 years ago. I said 740 million. I am sorry. 740,000 years ago. Some researchers think our planet is overdue for another one, but nobody knows exactly when the next reversal might occur. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Kevin calling from Northern Alberta.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi. How are you this evening?
I am doing well, sir. How are you?
Oh, I can't complain either. The Earth hasn't pole shifted lately, so I think we're all doing okay.
Hey, you're in Canada. Tell me, what are you guys doing with the magnetic North Pole up there? I mean, what's the deal with that?
Well, I guess it's traveled away from where it has been. Now, they say that the movement has never covered more than 40 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
In what they call pole shift. So where is it now? Somewhere between Iceland and the Soviet Union?
Yeah. Well, Russia. Soviet Union's gone.
Russia.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been in Hudson's Bay. It's been in the Yukon territories.
Yeah, it's been on land in Canada.
Yes, it has.
Back in the 1800s, it was on land, and it has moved out to sea. But now 40 degrees is significant. You know, that's a big move. Canada didn't sink when the magnetic north left land, did it?
No, I think we just we lost a little faith in Santa Claus is about all that happened.
Well, we have never been through a complete pole shift, polarity reversal in our lifetime. We've never been through that.
No, but that's actually a misnomer. That's not a pole shift. That's called a geomagnetic reversal.
Well, yeah, it's a polarity reversal is what it is. So that what is registering on our compass as the North Pole would become the South Pole.
Right.
Yeah. But the Earth doesn't flip over.
No, no. And supposedly that has more acceptance in the scientific community than the pole shift hypothesis.
Well, yeah, and I'm using, Kevinistic terminology here. What most people are talking about when they talk about pole shift, I call it pole flip.
Oh, I'm on the phone.
Yeah, I call it pole flip.
Okay, yeah.
Where most of the time when they talk about a pole shift in all these articles, they're talking about the Earth literally flipping over.
Right.
And reversing its rotation.
Right, right.
And we will go, eventually, we will go through a polarity shift. But I see no evidence. And I have really, really looked for information that indicates that the Earth actually has flipped over in the past. I can't find it.
No, there's a couple things that happened with the quick freezing of the Earth, where they found evidence in the stomach of the woolly mammoth, and that puzzled them a little bit.
Well, yeah. Now there is a theory that the Earth's crust shifted, that it slipped around the core, and that might be a possibility. It's a big theory, but nobody knows for sure. But the idea being that, you think about the core and then you think about the crust being like the peel of an orange sitting on top of the core, and that it slid around the core. Now, that, I don't know, that might be a possibility, but that's not pole shift.
No, that can be caused, they say, possibly by being hit by an asteroid or comet, mm-hmm. high velocity.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like you said, who knows, for sure.
Yeah, but now let me ask you this. Do you run into people, either in person or on the internet, that seem to be really fearful about 2012?
I don't run into people that are fearful of it, but I do believe that there's a lot of fear-mongering going on, possibly on the internet, from bad information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
You have to study on it. You have to draw your own conclusions and not get swept up in Hollywoodism, because you know the movie that's coming out.
Yeah, and look, I'll go see the movie, and I'll be excited and thrilled and, but it's sci-fi. It's fiction. And, one of my favorite movies is Independence Day. Do I think it will unfold like that? Absolutely not. But, it's great fiction. I like Harry Potter, too. But it's fiction,
Yeah.
And I think we need to raise our eyes back to the horizon and march forward.
Agreed, yeah.
Yeah,
and that's why your show is doing such a good job, because you're bringing some of the ideas to the forefront, but you're not pushing a lot of the bogus stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I hope I don't push any of the bogus stuff.
No,
I hope.
I meant it in a good way.
I understand. Kevin, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Kevin. Bye-bye.
All right, bye. All right. The telephone lines are open, and the telephone numbers are 623-444-5889 or toll-free at 888-223-4599. I get asked sometimes if I'm afraid of the future. I do. I get email where people say, I don't see how you can look at the future and not be afraid. There are things I am afraid of in the future, but it's mainly stuff we humans are doing to ourselves. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Mike from Mississippi.
Hi, Mike.
I want to ask a question if this is clarify that I might be right about this because I think I am. We look at magnets as, you know, they got like a two sides.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they can, they can either stick to each other or they can repel each other.
Mm-hmm.
What effect would a polar shift would have on the, like, the Teutonic plates, you know, the fault lines on the Earth, and what kind of effect would it have with runner planets? Would it affect runner planets like Mars, the Venus, or the Sun?
I am going to say no, and I'll tell you why. A lot of people don't know this. They think that the Sun is just a big gas ball that's on fire. It has a surface. Did you know that? The Sun has a surface, and they've been able to photograph with the with SOHO satellite and some other satellites, and they put some filters on them, and they've been able to photograph the surface of the Sun. It actually has a surface. When it goes through every 11 years, when it goes through these polarity changes, so that what has been its north magnetic pole becomes its south magnetic pole, there is no significant change that's been noticed on the surface of the Sun. And that thing, I mean, you think about the forces, the power of the forces on the Sun. It's way more than what we have here on Earth. And if you could think of the Sun's magnetic power as the Pacific Ocean, and then think of the Earth's magnetic power as a thimble full of water. So the forces at work on the Sun don't rip it apart every 11 years when it goes through this reversal. It's just a reversal in the polarity of the Sun. Okay? So just think of it as positive and negative. What has been negative now registers as positive. What has been positive now registers as negative. Why it does it? Nobody knows. How it does it, nobody knows. Same with the Earth. But the forces at work there are far, far greater than what would be at work here on the Earth. And so I would say no. I would say your compass will read different the next morning, but other than that, I can't see that there'd be any change in it at all. Now, let me say this. I have not researched the effects that would have on climate. So I don't know. It might change the weather patterns. I don't know.
Well, one of the things that I kind of thought about, too, is if there was a polar shift, I thought there was a possibility that the Earth would move further from the Sun, which I don't know if that's ever been recorded in history or not, if there's any scientific evidence of that happening.
We're moving further from the Sun every year.
Yeah.
Yeah, every single year.
See, what I thought was happening is when you get a polar shift on Earth, it would move away from the Sun, and this is what caused an ice age, which happens every, I'm not sure how many years it is. It's, you know, hundreds of thousands. And then when the polar shift would shift back, it would move closer to the Sun. That's kind of what I thought, but I don't know.
Well, now, look, I don't think it has anything to do with whether we're closer to the Sun or further from the Sun. And I don't think the ice ages do either. But the weather patterns may be affected by the polar shift. That might be the case. And when I say polar shift, you understand, I'm talking about the magnetic poles simply reversing their polarity. And that does happen every 5,000 to 50 million years. It does happen. It's happened several times on this planet. Now, that might have an effect on weather. And if it does, that might explain, or be at least part of the explanation for the ice ages. Could be.
Could be.
Yeah. But, you know, we're moving further away from the sun every year. And the moon is moving further away from the earth every year. And given enough millions of years, there'll be no moon out there. It'll be gone.
No, so, it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, I doubt I'll be here. I mean, I'm already an old guy, but I don't think I'll be around for those millions of years.
Yeah, I don't think I will be either.
Yeah, but I don't... since we don't see the tremendous chaotic physical upheavals on the sun when it goes through this, and the forces that are at work there are far greater than what we have here, I don't think we'll see them here. I don't think we'll see any kind of tremendous upheavals here.
Yeah, I don't know if there was any recordings when they have, you know, if there's anything changes on the surface, you know, like sunspots or anything, but you know, we just can assume that the sun is like one temperature all the way around, whereas Earth, you know, it's colder at the north. And
well, no, actually, you know, the sun has weather.
Out from there.
The sun actually has weather, and there are places on the sun that are cooler and places on the sun that are hotter. Now, that's relative. Even the cool places on the sun would you'd fry long before you got to them. They're still excessively hot, but they're cooler than other places. And the sun does have weather. It has it. There are people that specialize in solar weather. So, but you know, it doesn't go through massive chaos every time it goes through a polarity shift, and I don't think we will either. Now, if I'm wrong, we're going to find out about it on the same day.
Yeah.
But
everybody's going to know.
Yeah, but I've been through 5 polarity shifts on the sun, and nothing horrendous happened to the Earth. The prediction that I read here is that when the sun goes through its polar shift, then the Earth is going to be cast into this horrible chaotic thing. Well, it happened in February 2001 is the last time, and here you and I are talking about it. So
yeah,
I have absolutely
nothing happened in 2001 to my knowledge.
Nothing happened, and it's going to happen. The sun is going to go through its regular polarity shift again in 2012. It happens every 11 years. So it'll happen in 2012. Well, I don't think anything special is going to happen then, just because it hasn't happened the other 5 times I've lived through it.
Well, there's probably going to be something that's going to happen in 2012, but I have my doubts that it's going to be, you know, an Earth pole shift.
I think what you're going to find is that almost all the cataclysms that may happen in 2012 will be of a political nature. We'll do it to ourselves. Yeah. Hey, thanks for the call.
All right, thanks, Kev.
All right. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889, or toll free at 888-223-4599. What do you think about it? Maybe my reasoning on this is all wrong. It may be like the stock market. They say that past performance is no predictor of future performance. So maybe past performance of the sun is no predictor of future. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Mike Kevin from Kentucky.
Hi, Mike.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
I've still survived nearly 6 of those polar shifts, you know, that you're talking about, those magnetic shifts. So I'm doing well.
It was tough, though, wasn't it?
Oh, I'm sweating, I'm telling you.
I think, but, Mike, I think there are things we should be concerned about, but I don't think this is one of them.
No.
You started to say something, and I cut you off. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say that man's inhumanity to man is more of a threat to the world than a polar shift.
Oh, I think so.
The people that are profiting from this are the people who are pushing all of these disasters. And unlike, you know, I mean, people are so insecure. They don't seem to have faith anymore. And so they buy into all of this stuff.
Well, you know, I agree and I disagree with what you said. When you say they don't have faith, I think they do, but their faith has shifted to these prophets of doom. They have faith in them.
Yes, that's what I meant.
Yeah, and, you know, they truly believe that all this stuff is going to happen. I'm going to disappoint many, many, many people. In fact, almost all of the nearly 7 billion people on Earth will be disappointed with me on December the 21st, 2012, because I'm going to have a party.
Right, all right. And, you know, look back. All we got to do is to look back to YK2, and we can see how all this worked out and how people reacted.
Yeah. Well, look, cataclysms can happen, and I think cataclysms are going to happen because we live on a planet that's in a very dangerous place called space, and things are going to run into us sooner or later. There are going to be huge volcanic eruptions. They've happened before in Earth's past. They will happen again. So cataclysms are that's on the menu. But it's not because of the 2012 prophecies. It's not because of the possibility of a reversal of the magnetic field on Earth. That's going to happen again, too. But there's no evidence that it ever caused a cataclysm. And
it's part of nature's cycles. And unfortunately, man's lifespan is not long enough to be able to correlate these things.
Well, and like I say, you know, I don't know. It may actually change the weather, but I have no idea. Mike, we're into a break. You want to hang on through the break, or does that do it for you?
I think I'll get off and let others have an opportunity. Not Kevin.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate it. Thanks for the call, and we'll be back right after this. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And the telephone lines are open. We're talking about the possibility of a... well, first of all, we're talking about the fact, it is a fact, that the sun will go through a polarity swap in 2012. And the last time it did it was February 2001. And then we're talking about the possibility that the Earth may go through that. Now... I've read to you, I picked out one of the direst predictions that I could find on the internet. Some of them are not quite this dire, but I did pick out one of the doomiest doomsday predictions. Is doomiest a word? It is now. I picked out one of the most dire predictions, having to do with what's going to happen if the Earth, when the Earth goes through the next polarity swap, so that what is registering as the North Pole will begin registering as the South Pole. It's done it before. I mistakenly said 740 million years ago. It's 740,000 years ago. So, the prediction says that when the sun goes through its swap, It's going to send out a solar flare 100 times greater than anything we've ever seen, and then all hell breaks loose on Earth. I say that is not going to happen. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Steve from New Orleans.
Hi, Steve from New Orleans, one of my favorite cities. You guys got a football team now.
For a change.
You know, my favorite team, because I live here, is the Cardinals. But when I lived in Louisiana, it was the Saints. So I'm a Cardinals fan, and but I'm also a Saints fan, unless they play each other.
Got to pick sides occasionally, huh?
Yeah. But, wow, what a great, great team New Orleans has. What's on your mind this evening?
Well, I just was going to make a comment about the subject you're talking about. I saw an interview recently with a Belgian gentleman by the name of Patrick Garrel, and he has a book he has written specifically about this, and he's more or less saying it's the core that's going to reverse and cause the Earth to actually spin in a reversal, not a north-south magnetic scenario that's going to cause the destruction of the event.
Well,
and that's
now
that's
the person that you're talking about, would it be Patrick Garrel?
Garrel, yes. Sir.
Or maybe it's Gerald, I don't know. Yeah, well, as a matter of fact, it happens to be his article that I'm referring to. There's no evidence.
I didn't want to mention too much about it since you were trying to prevent people from perhaps,
yeah,
you know, researching.
But here's the deal. There's no evidence that that has ever happened. None.
What about the fact that he's stating that they have located the labyrinth and that the information may be contained inside of there, proving this theory? And they're supposedly going to be making an announcement with some network next month covering the, you know, the fact that they found this and the information will be contained inside of that.
Well,
discovery
they may
with this. Now, if that's the case, well then, you know, obviously it'll be a little more concrete.
Well, they may have discovered this labyrinth, and they may have discovered ancient information in there. But we know for sure that not all ancient information is correct. There were fiction writers in ancient times just as there are today. And there were theorists who theorized things in ancient times just as there are today. I hear sometimes people talk about the lost books of the Bible. Look, just because something's ancient doesn't mean that it belonged in the Bible. And I'm not a religionist, but I want to use that as an example. Let me ask you a question. Now think about this, because it applies to what we're talking about. Do you think that Jesus ever wrote a letter? I bet you he did. I bet while he was out traveling around, he wrote a letter home to Mom once in a while.
Well, being as that was the only way to really communicate,
mm-hmm.
probably had to have taken place.
You think maybe he ever wrote down a grocery list when he was going to the market? Maybe.
Well, I never considered that.
Probably did. None of that made it to the Bible.
Right.
What about St. Paul? Did he ever just write a friend and say, "Hey, Bob, haven't seen you in a long time. How are you doing?" Probably did. He mentions writing a letter in the Bible. He mentions writing a letter to a church. And that letter is not in the Bible. Okay? So not everything that is an ancient writing ranks being included as scripture, nor does it rank being included as truth, just because it's ancient. And so, you know, you look at the science about the Earth, and there is no indication that the Corps has ever done what they're saying.
And that's exactly right. And I'm assuming the way he's approaching this is that it's not just maybe a writing, it's more of a library of ancient knowledge that may have been contained there that actually goes back far enough to have some sort of record that may...
Well, yeah, but remember...
Who knows?
But remember, it's ancient writings that told us the Earth sits on Atlas' shoulders. You know, so some of the ancient stuff is worth knowing. It's all worth knowing, but some of it is actual fact, and some of it is not. And just like today.
That, he may, you know, ultimately have access to some information, and I guess it'll have to...
If this information that he's referring to is information that is of a scientific nature... that was left here by very advanced extraterrestrials that once visited this planet.
That's kind of what...
Then that would be... You would have to look at that and be a little more... You know, maybe it's true.
Right.
However, there is nothing in the geological record that shows the core ever stopped and went the other way.
Well, like you said earlier, we will find out at the same time.
Yeah, we will. I'm gonna have a party for the Earth core stopping too. I'm doing one for 2012 for December the 21st, 2012, and when they put a date on when they think the Earth's core is going to stop spinning and go the other way, I'm gonna do another party.
That's about all you're gonna be able to do because not much else is gonna. Can't do much else about it one way or the other.
Well, that's true. That's true. Look, my December the 21st, 2012 party is for real. It's going to happen in Bangkok, Thailand. And save your pennies and come to the party.
Will do.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
Great talking to you. Bye-bye.
Go Saints. Who dat say gonna beat them Saints? 623-444-5889. Or... 888-223-4599. What do you think about it? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Larry from Illinois.
Hi, Larry. What part of Illinois are you in?
I'm upper northern part.
Okay. All right. What city are you near?
Near Manteno. Kankakee?
I know Kankakee.
Okay.
All right. Okay, go ahead. What's on your mind?
Yeah, we met at Sedona once. Anyway,
oh, okay.
On the 2012 issue, I read a book probably 50, 55 years ago. I don't remember. It's been a long time. And written by a geologist. And his theory, shall we say, makes more sense than anything I've ever read. And his theory, I wish I could find a book again, I'd like to read it again, but his theory was, it's kind of based on the North and the South Pole. I don't know if you ever heard this one or not. And it's basically caused by a buildup of ice. He
yeah.
says it normally happens, could be... 7,000 to maybe 15,000 year cycles. It's a normal cycle. And he mentioned different places around the world where he's found poles at different times. And he says what happens is the buildup at the poles causes the Earth to... It's just like a spinning top where you drop something on it, and what it does, the wobble gets more than 50 miles, he says. And then what happens is the Earth has to adjust. And it could move anywhere from 30 to, I think he figured 30 to 70 degrees. He says it's what makes a difference is if you have a continent on both poles at the same time, then it happens sooner. In our case, we don't. We only have a continent at the South Pole.
Mm-hmm.
So we take the longer time to happen. And I guess he figured the last one was around 15,000 years ago. So that's,
I've read that. I can't think of the guy's name. I have read that. That wasn't Charles Hapgood, was it?
Like I say, I don't remember at the time, and you know, I'm talking 50-some years ago.
Yeah, yeah. I think Hapgood's theory is if that's not it, it's close to that. It may be, but then again, in that case, global warming is a good thing because the poles are melting.
Well, there's a lot of issues. There's people out there saying it's not, that there's actually ice building up at the South Pole.
Well, in actual fact, I was being facetious. In actual fact, the polar ice is refreezing on both poles faster than they've ever seen it happen.
Well, I think the ice at the North Pole doesn't matter that much because it's basically on water. So it doesn't matter. It's when it's on a continent.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not... I mean, it's just like dropping... You can drop ice cubes in the water. You know, if you make an ice cube from the water and drop it back in the glass, it's still the same level. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just ice.
Yeah.
But
well, yeah, I understand what you're saying. The theory is interesting, but... I don't know any regular geologists that say there's evidence of it. Listen, I got to run. Larry, good to talk with you again. I remember you from Sedona. I got to run. We're into a break. All right, okay. Folks, we'll be back right after this. We are back. We are on Final Approach. We'll take one or two more telephone calls. The telephone number to call is 623-444-5889 or toll-free 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
That's Greg from Kentucky.
Hi, Greg. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay, I was just wondering what you thought about the usual wild card in most of this stuff. It's usually Planet X.
Well, it's always a possibility.
I had a thought of I've read this before that maybe Planet X is part of a smaller solar system with its own brown dwarf. And if this brown dwarf was to come through the solar system as they say it will, maybe not in 2012, but if it does, what kind of interaction would that have with our sun and our relation going around the sun? Do you think that could possibly cause a pole shift?
Yes. Well, I spoke too soon. Do I think it could cause problems? Yes. I don't know if it could cause a pole, an actual geophysical pole shift. But could it cause problems? Yes, I think it could. And I think if it comes close enough to us, it would. Now, the information on Planet X is all over the map. And I am speaking about the map of the universe. It is, it isn't. It exists, it doesn't, it's there. We've got pictures of it. No, nobody's got pictures of it. It's all over the place. So I don't know. Whether it's for real or not. I'm pretty convinced that if we're talking about this Nibiru that the Sumerians talked about, I'm pretty convinced that's for real. And the reason I'm convinced is because they knew about all the planets in our solar system. And that includes the one that just lost its planethood, Pluto. Now, on the clearest night in the history of the universe, no one on this planet, either with their naked eye, or even if they had the best binoculars ever, or even a really good backyard telescope, nobody has seen Pluto. Only observatories can see Pluto. How did the Sumerians know about it? Well, they say they heard about it from these beings they called the Anunnaki, who came here from Nibiru. Well, if they knew about Pluto and we didn't discover it till 1930, you got to give some credence to their story.
Right. Well, I just believe that most solar systems now, they found that they're in a binary solar system, and I just believe that this Planet X thing may not be a planet, or it may be a planet, but it's accompanying its own solar system, such as a brown dwarf, which they can't detect unless they use infrared. And I think there's only very few spots on the Earth that they could spot it right now in the southern hemisphere, from the southern hemisphere. But have you ever heard of the stories of them finding tropical plants and ferns in Alaska and the North Pole?
Yeah, also in Antarctica.
Right. Now, I wonder if that is, do you think that a pole shift in the past could have caused the crust to slip, like Patrick Gerald was talking about?
Well, see, it could. But that assumes that's based on basically an assumption that weather patterns were pretty much the same as they are today. And it assumes that there could not have been tropical plants growing on Antarctica if it were in its present position.
Right.
Weather patterns were not the same. There was a time when this planet was a hothouse, and the dinosaurs lived here, and the whole planet was hot. And I don't know what to think about the... I mean, I've read Hapgood's theory about the crust slipping.
And have you ever heard of the Chinese account of the sun coming up to around noon and then going right back down in the same direction?
There's
supposed to be...
I haven't read that, but there is a story that I am familiar with where the sun stood still, and it stood still for a long time. I don't know. 2 or 3 days, I think. And then, of course, you know what that means. If the sun stood still, it means that the Earth stopped rotating.
Right. What about the case of Noah's flood? Do you think that perhaps there were huge tsunamis because of a pole shift during Noah's day? Do you think that obviously something had to have happened, you know, pretty large on a large scale for that to have happened?
Well, I don't know what caused it. The account says that the fountains of the deep broke open. And we know that there are big, big pockets of water under the earth. If we didn't think that was true, we'd never drill a well. We know there's water under the surface, and lots of it. And it says that it started to rain, it was torrential rain, and that the fountains of the deep broke open at the same time. Something caused the earth to begin to crack apart.
Well, I just have one more comment, and that is, what do you think about the prophet Edgar Cayce, which he lived probably 30 miles from where I am right now in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. And he was another prophet that had some... pole shift implications. What do you think about Edgar Cayce?
Well, Edgar Cayce was an amazing prophet, and he has an amazing record of accuracy, but it's not 100%.
Right.
So, you know, until you get someone that's 100% accurate, you always have to say, well, we'll see. You know?
Well, I'm like you, Kevin. I don't know what's going to happen in 2012, and it's probably not going to be nearly as bad as what they're saying if anything happens, but at least this movie that's going to come out will open some minds, and maybe some people will prepare, you know, just in case. If anything, it'll save some people by preparing.
Yeah, well, you know, I hope if it scares the hell out of some people, that it will scare them enough that they say, well, if all that's going to happen, I'm going to go out with a party. And come to my party in Bangkok.
Yeah. have a good party.
That's right.
All right, Kevin, thanks for the call.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, that'll do it for our calls this evening because we are racing towards the end of the show. Do I know that I am correct on this? No, I don't know that. Could I be absolutely wrong on this? Sure, I could. I was absolutely wrong twice before. That's the two previous marriages. I've been wrong in my life, and I don't hold myself out as someone who has absolute truth and all the truth and all knowledge. I'm not God. But when I look at all the evidence, and I put it on the scale, and I let this balance that, it doesn't appear to me that 2012 is the big bugaboo that a lot of people think it is. Will there be problems? Yeah, there's problems today, and we're not even in 2012. There were problems in the 1960s. There were problems before I was born. Are there going to be problems? Yes. Are there going to be cataclysms? Yes. Because it's 2012? No. Just because we're here, and this stuff has been going on your entire life. I don't fear the future in terms of the planet falling apart. I don't fear the future. But there are things I see coming in the future that are fearful. We are creating those. You and me and everyone around us, we are creating the things that could take us down. But I don't fear pole shift. All right, that's a wrap for this evening. Tomorrow night we're going to talk about another planet buster theory, and this one really could happen. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.